everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, the title will explain everything for you about this podcast. You see, this is a podcast in which I shall make intellectual discussions about the medium of animation, specifically the latest news that happened this week. So, for today's episode, we shall discuss about Wreck-It Ralph 2 being official. Then we will go talk about the trailer for Trolls, not just the teaser trailer, but the full trailer. Then we will talk about a little mishap that occurred in Concord, California. Then we will look into 7 all-new Pokemon, and finally we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. So for our first story, I remember during this week that I was just browsing through Twitter, and then suddenly I stumbled upon something quite interesting that Disney had posted. They say that somehow Walt Disney Animation Studios would like to make a big announcement. And, you know, this got me curious. I was just there like, ooh, this should be fancy. So I thought it would be a little interesting thing, and everybody has already made, like, little predictions of what it's going to be, most of which I saw was going to be discussing about Frozen 2. Well, almost. It's kind of it is a sequel, but it's not Frozen 2, because, well, let's face it, Frozen 2 has already been announced. This time, however, this is actually quite a surprise that nobody was really expecting. There was talks that it might happen, but now it is official. It will happen. Walt Disney Animation Studios went on to Facebook
would be legendary for Filmbook if Disney actually did that. I mean,
Disney went on to on Facebook, and they officially announced that they are going to be making Wreck-It Ralph 2, and they will actually be releasing it pretty soon on March 9th, 2018. So, what do we know about Wreck-It Ralph 2 so far? Well, the thing is that they didn't say a lot of it, but just some small bits. What we know for a fact is that John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman will be returning as Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz. On top of that, the setting is no longer going to be in an arcade, but instead, they are going to be on the internet. And like last time, the main focus of the movie will be about the relationship between Ralph and Vanellope and how it's going to be in the world of the internet. So pretty much that's more of the central thing. It's just Ralph and Vanellope going around the internet. And we even got an exclusive first look with a concept art, an image where we see Ralph and Vanellope just like they seem like they dominated the internet in a way. And surrounding them are just like parody names of websites that we already know. Like Google is now like Yugle with, instead of the two O's, it's like a U with two dots. And instead of Amazon, it's amazing and all that kind of stuff. It's basically like parody names in a similar fashion that when you look at posters of Zootopia, you'll often find all these parody brands, but with animals, but now they're just parody names on the internet. But yeah, the main focus is going to be about the relationship between Ralph and Vanellope. And in terms of the people who will be in charge of the project, of course, we got Rich Moore coming back as the director, but also writer Phil Johnson is going to be coming back to the film as well, but this time he will also be a co-director. Now, when I heard about this news, honestly, like many people, I was just, like, really excited when I heard that. And, like, you know, like, hearing about a Wreck-It Ralph 2, like, it is expected, but, you know, I'm glad that they're actually gonna go out and do it. And, honestly, compared to Frozen 2, this one makes a lot more sense to make a sequel. Because when you think about it, Wreck-It Ralph is a part of, like,
one of the newer contemporary Disney films. Somewhere in the line, like Wreck-It Ralph is somewhere in the same lines as like Big Hero 6 and Zootopia, where with those films, they're kind of like, they go outside of the Disney formula with the princesses and the musicals and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're more, they're just their own feature film, and it opens to brand new possibilities to have a sequel. So, that's why, like, because it doesn't follow the Disney tradition, it makes more sense to make a sequel to Wreck-It Ralph, more so than a sequel to Frozen. However, now, this is not the first time that we're having discussions about a Wreck-It Ralph 2. Now, beforehand, like, there have been plenty of talks of what could it possibly be, and one of the ideas beforehand was about home consoles, and people were pretty much hoping that there would be a lot more video game characters we did not get in the first Wreck-It Ralph. Of course, we got a lot of the villains in there, like we got Eggman, we got Sonic, we got Zangief, we got Bowser, you know, and we got M. Bison. We got all those characters, but it's not about them. Like, the more I thought about it, like, the more I was thinking, like, okay, like, what kind of video game characters would be in there? You know, I thought that, like, I did take a long thought, and I was thinking, like, if there are no other video game characters that appear in Wreck-It Ralph 2, honestly, I would probably be fine, because when you think about it, Wreck-It Ralph is not about the video game characters. It's not necessarily in the same veins of something like Toy Story or Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where, you know, like, you're getting a plethora of video game characters, and it's about the video game characters. At the most, they all make their cameos within the first half of the movie, or even just the first act. Like, once Ralph goes game jumping, like, that's when the references start to become, like, at a minimum, and, like, they're no longer there. Like, maybe there would be a few, like, soon afterwards, like, when King Candy would do the Konami code to go in his secret passage. Like, that would make sense. Like, okay, yeah, there are those video game references, but there really isn't as much, and they're not what makes the movie. That's more, like, kind of a marketing thing, because, like, when you look at the advertisements and all that kind of stuff, you'll often see characters, like even a picture in front of me, which, by the way, I'm using my source here from Inside the Magic, like, you'll see, like, their promotional stuff that they got, like, they would often have Ralph and Fix-It Felix and Vanellope, like, in front of characters like Sonic the Hedgehog or one of the Pac-Man ghosts and Dr. Eggman and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's not about the video game characters, so even if there are or there are none, I would be fine either way, but I'm sure that this would be a bit of a discussion, because I'm sure there would be so many people who would love to see a lot more video game characters in there. Like, I'm sure there's going to be, like, such a high demand to have characters like Link or Mario or Pikachu to appear in Wreck-It Ralph 2. That wouldn't be surprising. But, honestly, like, the fact that we are going on the internet, it does bring up a good discussion. Like, is it just going to be the internet in general, or are we going to enter, like, the gaming side of the internet? Because keep in mind, like, Ralph and Vanellope are technically video game characters. So are we still going to enter the internet, but we're going to go into, like, the gaming section? Like, this is going to be all about Steam, or is it going to be all about Xbox Live, or, like, even, like, some of the small websites that would host, like, those really small independent video games like Newgrounds? Like, is it going to be on that department? But I don't know, like, the internet is such a huge world, and I don't know, like, well, one thing is for sure, we know for a fact, it's not going to go into the deep internet. I don't know if Disney would even have the balls to even make a reference about Rule 34, but I don't know, it's a dark and creepy place. Whatever they do, just don't go into the art section, because you might find some that, I don't know, but especially with Vanellope, like, let's just say that there are a lot of people out there who would like to draw her a bit, older, per se. just to fit with the theme that they want to do. But yeah, overall, I would have to say that I really am excited for Wreck-It Ralph 2, plus the fact that the first Wreck-It Ralph is definitely the best animated feature of 2012, hands down. I mean, I'll be honest, like, I was a part of those people that wasn't necessarily too happy at the awards when Brave actually won for best animated feature. Like, I like Brave. You know, Brave is still a good movie. Like, sure, it's not as good as the other Pixar films, but it's still good on its own nonetheless. It's still, you know, it's still very strong on as its own animated feature, but come on, like, Wreck-It Ralph is just so much better. It has so much creativity, and really, it's one of the first contemporary Disney films that, like, they can really go out, like, that really lets Disney to go out there and not solely rely on the Disney formula to go out and make their movies. Now, like, of course, yeah, sure, there are some movies beforehand that do that as well, like The Rescuers Down Under, but this is the one for, like, Wreck-It Ralph was the one for this period that really launched that. And especially the fact that with Rich Moore, he's certainly becoming a very prominent film director. He's becoming like one of the, like, nowadays, he is like one of the legit Disney directors. He's already proven himself very well to be very strong and, like, to be one of the best Disney directors that's currently in the studio after he did his work with Wreck-It Ralph and, like, especially after Zootopia, my God. But now, like, the fact that he is coming back for Wreck-It Ralph 2 is going to be pretty exciting. And some of you might be curious regarding about another movie that technically is going to be coming out in 2018, because keep in mind, Wreck-It Ralph 2 is not the only animated feature that's going to be released during that time. There's also going to be the previously announced Gigantic, which that one is the traditional Disney film, and like a lot of people say, is going to be the next Frozen, considering that, like I said before, we're going back to the same Disney, the same Disney traditional formula. It has Robert and Kristen Anderson Lopez coming back doing the songs, so, you know, that one is more of a Disney animated feature. Well, it was supposed to be released at the time of Wreck-It Ralph 2, but Disney decided, like, since they made that announcement, they are going to delay Gigantic to Thanksgiving of 2018, which is not a bad idea considering that Disney often has very good luck during Thanksgiving. I mean, like, every single time they release a movie there, they find massive success. I mean, like, when you look back at film, like, technically, Wreck-It Ralph was released on Thanksgiving, I believe, actually. Like, it was released during November. And then, like, but then you also got, like, Frozen, the highest grossing animated feature, which that is getting so much, like, which, as you can tell, has so much success. And then you also got Big Hero 6, which also ended up being the highest grossing animated feature of 2014. Like, it even beat How to Train Your Dragon 2. But also, even this year, they're going to release Moana, and chances are it's going to be a pretty good hit, and it does show a lot of good promise. Like, I know there might be a few people who are skeptical with the teaser trailer, but don't let Disney's trailers fool you. Trust me. Often, like Disney's trailers are a lot more underwhelming than the movie itself. If you don't believe me, look at Zootopia. Like, the trailer just says, "Oh, it looks like it's all right," but then, like, when you look at like, you look at the movie itself, and it's like, oh my God, that's one of the best animated films. Like, that's crazy. But yeah, so yeah, like I said, like, Disney has a lot of great luck with Thanksgiving releases, so maybe they'll have more great luck as well when they put Gigantic onto Thanksgiving 2018. And like I previously stated before, we'll have to wait and see with how they will do with Wreck-It Ralph 2 when that will be coming out March 9th, 2018, after Disney had their little break in 2017, which I would like to say as well, like, technically with 2017, Walt Disney Animation Studios is not releasing a single animated feature during that time, since this year we're getting Moana and Zootopia, so they just want to have a break, and then
Like, once that break is over, we will be coming back to Ralph.
And speaking of movies that are pretty much going to be released during November and during Thanksgiving and all that stuff, we actually got a trailer of one that's going to be coming soon this November. And what I am referring to is going to be Trolls, which is DreamWorks' next original animated feature. Now, beforehand, when the first teaser trailer of Trolls was released, wow, let's be honest, it really started off on the wrong foot. Like, you just see all the characters dancing to Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nay Nay, and everybody was embarrassed. So much so that even the animators at DreamWorks Animation themselves were just utterly embarrassed by that trailer. It only said that Trolls looks like is going to be something like as if Sony Pictures Animation made it. It looks like it's going to be one of those stupid movies that's going to try desperately hard to be cool and hip. In fact, Sony actually did that beforehand. Like even during the time of Hotel Transylvania 2, they tried to advertise it with characters dancing to Whip Nene. If you don't believe me, like, look it up. It actually does exist. I'm not doing that as a joke. That is a real thing, ladies and gentlemen. But anyways, going back to Trolls, now they have released their first official trailer, giving us a better idea of what the movie is going to be. And looking at the trailer myself, I would say that it's better. It's better than what we got with the teaser trailer, but, not by much. I'm gonna be honest. It doesn't seem like it has a lot of promise than I would expect. I'm not expecting it to be, like, a terrible film. I'm not expecting it to be, like, one of the worst animated features, like down there with like Ratchet and Clank and Norm of the North. But I'm certainly not expecting this to be like one of the best, to be very honest. I'm not expecting it to be like not the best of the year, not even DreamWorks' best. I don't know. Because it's really weird to describe this. And you know, honestly, everybody actually has that feeling. Because here's the thing. This is unlike any other DreamWorks film that we have ever seen. And, like, in terms of the movie itself, like, not just visually, but also how the movie is. Because this is going to be the first time in a very long time, ever since the early 2000s, back when DreamWorks was doing hand-drawn animated features, that this is going to be their first one that they're going to do a musical. And looking at this, okay, so how could I describe it? Okay. Now, let me start off with what's really good about this, and that is the animation. In terms of its visuals, you know, they really did a good job. This is going to be hands down, this is going to be one of the most colorful animated features this year. Like, this is, this can arguably be even more colorful than the Angry Birds movie. And the style of the animation, like, this is actually some pretty good top-notch animation, but with the style that they're going, it looks like they're trying to be like those modern TV shows. It has that same style. It's almost like, the style is very reminiscent to something like Adventure Time or Steven Universe or Gravity Falls. It's more along the lines of those modern TV shows where, like, it tries to have a bit of that more simplistic modern style, but, like, also you have, like, a bit of the Trolls twist to it. But simultaneously, it has, like, that strong, colorful, psychedelic edge to it that, like, it really emphasizes that fantasy while also adding in a bit of comedy at the same time. And that's what it looks like it's trying to go for. But in terms of the story, I have to say that it does seem very predictable. This seems like a very predictable story where, like, you got all these happy trolls, and then suddenly you got a big monster that kidnaps the trolls, and it's up to this, like, one troll that's more of an outcast, and the leader of the trolls, who's kind of like a new girl who's, like, too happy, and it's up to them to go and save the other trolls, while simultaneously, like, they form, like, kind of like this friendship or a relationship or something like that along the journey. While at the same time, we're going to be getting, like, several musical numbers at the same time. And, oh boy, and oh my god, the tone. I think, like, that's probably one of the biggest things that, like, a lot of people remember about this trailer is that it's stupidly happy. I guess that's the best way to put it, is that it feels so stupidly happy. It's kind of ridiculous. In fact, I don't know if this is going to be, like... I don't know if this is going to be, if this is going to sound like a really bad thing to say, but Trolls looks like it's going to be the next generation of a troll in Central Park. Because this is what this movie kind of reminds me of in terms of its tone, where it really wants to be so overjoyous. It wants to be so happy. Like, everything it does... is like everything is just so so colorful. You literally have these trolls that just wants to make this happy, happy world filled with colors and happy flowers and all that kind of stuff. You literally have this one troll who, like, he actually poops out cupcake. Legit. You got a troll who poops cupcakes, and the leader troll was offering it to the monster. It's like, cupcakes? It's like, you're offering the troll, you're offering the monster legit troll poop, which is cupcakes. And, like, yeah, that's the thing. It, like, I created a term for it. I remember when I made Animation Look Back of Don Bluth when discussing about A Troll in Central Park. I kind of created this term about how stupidly, like, happy and optimistic everything just seems. Like, I created the term of, what was it? Happy Rainbow Butterfly Pony Flowers. Like, that's basically the best way to describe this movie. This is a movie, the modern interpretation of Happy Rainbow Butterfly Pony Flowers. And especially, but, like, at the same time, you also get this modern twist. You do hear, like, some modern songs going to it. Like, they got some singer, like, they got some people, like, you know, they got Justin Timberlake, they got Gwen Stefani, they got a duo, like, these two girl DJs, I forgot who, or, like, singers or art, well, two female artists, I forgot who their names are, but they play this troll. Like they play these two sister trolls who's connected by their hair for some reason. And I don't know. I'm looking at this, like, is it going to be a good animated film? I would say, like, maybe. I'm not really going to put my hopes up. Like, this doesn't look like it's going to beat, this will not beat Moana in any way, shape, or form. Like, I felt like I got a lot more optimism, and I got a lot more hope in Moana, even during the, even during Maui's dance, it feels like there's a lot more promise to it. I'm sure, it's a bit goofy at first, but, like, with the Trolls trailer, it feels like it's nothing but that. But with Moana, it promised us it'll be a lot more than just Maui being the comic relief. Like, it promised us it's going to be, like, a legit good Disney animated feature. While Trolls, on the other hand, it's, like I said, it could be just the next generation of A Troll in Central Park. Now, does that mean it's going to be a good thing? Does that mean it's going to be a bad thing? I don't know, but we'll just have to wait and see, to be very honest. And at this point, we'll just wait until November 2016. Well, okay, this November, to see if Trolls can really stand out. Okay, so for our next story, this is a bit of a special little thing. Now, this isn't really about an animated film in itself, but something that happened in the news that pretty much animation fans are looking at this and they're thinking to themselves, this is why we cannot have nice things. And the reason why, well, unfortunately, this is a little mishap that happened in Concord, California. Apparently, at the theater called Brendan Concord 14, things are going fine as usual. Things are going nice. People are going to come in to watch Finding Dory. But before the movie, on the other hand, they received a very nasty surprise when they received the trailer for Sausage Party. And I checked a bit, and it seemed to be confirmed that it is the Red Band trailer of Sausage Party. Now, ever since then, the people who do run the theater did apologize. It says here, coming from using my source here from Time Magazine, Walter Achinger, Brendan's vice president of operations, said in a statement to the East Bay Times, playing that trailer was a one-time honest mistake by a theater manager moving screens around in effort to accommodate several large last-minute groups wanting to see Dory. It was caught too soon, but not until the trailer played. We regret it, apologize for it, and we are not happy that it happened. We fully realize this trailer is not appropriate for Dory, and we would never schedule something like that. Okay, now with that said, I did look a bit onto, like I did do a little bit of research upon how trailers are pretty much placed. Like what is the process of like showing the trailers before you would eventually see the movie? I looked into it, and apparently here's how it happened. Okay, so we're using Finding Dory as an example. So like one of the initial things that they would put as a trailer for Finding Dory is pretty much the upcoming Disney films. So they would put the trailers for Moana and the BFG. Okay, so like those are like pretty much the mandatory ones, and it does happen a few times when there could be like one or two extra trailers that would come from outside of the studio. So in this case, like it could happen that Universal would want to put in a trailer for The Secret Life of Pets onto the onto the trailers before they show Finding Dory, because like it fits in that category and it goes, it's pretty much aiming for that audience where it's an animated feature and it's a comedy. So like pretty much people who would want to see Finding Dory would most likely would want to go see The Secret Life of Pets. And as for the rest, often it would be in the hands of the movie theaters, the ones who are in charge of screening those movies. Often they would put some miscellaneous stuff. Like it does happen. Like I remember in my screening for Finding Dory, like we've often gotten a few things. Like I've gotten trailers for Nine Lives, which if you guys don't know what that is, that's pretty much the trailer of, I kid you not, Kevin Spacey turned into a cat because of Christopher Walken, who's pretty much, who feels like he's just reprising his role from Click. And like I also got like trailers for Pete's Dragon. I'm trying to think of other trailers. Like there's also like often like some others would get trailers for Storks, which is coming out in September. Some of them got trailers for Kubo and the Two Strings. But for some reason, how the fridge they put in Sausage Party, I don't know. Like, the point that I'm trying to make is that when it comes to movie theaters, sometimes it is in their hands to select which movie trailers they would put onto, like, what would be shown before the movie. And I guess by complete accident, they decided to put up Sausage Party before Finding Dory. And honestly, like, a lot of people could make the assumption that this could be because of the, you know, the old stereotype, and I'm sorry that I have to bring this up, the old stereotype of people who have that mindset that animation is for kids. And this is one of the reasons why we don't often see R-rated animated features, because sometimes people are too stupid to know what to do with it. Like, maybe it did happen that the person running that theater is looking onto, like, he was just checking out the trailers and suddenly he stumbled upon Sausage Party. It was like, hey, it's a cartoon, whatever, we'll put it in front of this cartoon and we'll see what happens. And, you know, honestly, like, that was another thing that I wanted to do research about this movie, is because I really wanted to check, like, if it's either the Green Band trailer or the Red Band trailer. But yeah, it's the Red Band trailer. And, like, and it's really ridiculous to think about. And, like, honestly, I feel shocked that this guy did not, like, whoever was in charge of that didn't even realize that he would put something like Sausage Party. He must have at least heard about the upcoming hyped up R-rated comedy that Seth Rogen wanted to make. Like, he must have heard about what is Sausage Party, but how the fridge did he just assume that this, like, little food cartoon would be for kids? I don't know, like, and especially how the fridge can you really mess up with the Red Band trailer? I thought, like, for movie theaters, they would just play it safe and put up, like, the Green Band trailer. It's a bit of the same thing, except they remove the swears, and they add in a bit more scenes than you would find in the Red Band trailer. And honestly, I'm just checking this out, like, why would you do this kind of mistake? Like, I don't know. It's just, it's really ridiculous to think about. And, like, I don't know. Like, oh my god. It's just hard to really think about how someone can legit go out there and make that mistake to put in something like Sausage Party in front of Finding Dory. Like, is it legit because of animation? But I don't know. Like, there must be more of an excuse. And I really would like to, like, honestly, the person that we need to hear the most from this is the guy who actually made that mistake. The one that has been said to be the theater manager moving screens around in effort to accommodate several large last-minute groups wanting to see Dory. Like, it's gotta be, I don't know. I really want to hear his mindset of how the fridge did a Red Band trailer of Sausage Party ended up in front of Finding Dory. Like, seriously, that just, like, it makes no sense. It really doesn't. And honestly, like, this, like, will this really affect how, you know, how, like, if there's going to be more R-rated animated features? Are people going to be more careful? I honestly don't know. Like, well, I guess we'll have to wait until, like, we see the financial results of Sausage Party if we're going to see a lot more of those. But, yeah, like, with what they did, it's just honestly really, really stupid. It's just that's a rookie mistake. And, like, come on, you gotta know your movies before showing the trailers in front of it. Like, you should have just played it safe. Just play the usual stuff like Moana or the BFG or Pete's Dragon and stuff like that. Like, you don't have to somehow end up with this. It's honestly a really dumb mistake. And I don't know, like, hopefully at this point, if people are going to be this stupid with Sausage Party, then honestly, I just can't wait for it to be released so that at least it'll be out there and people don't have to be dumb with it again. Unless that they want to bring their kids to it, well then, that's just purely the parents' fault. Okay, so for our next story, we're going to be doing something a little bit different, but this is still in the realm of animation, considering that this is still something that's very much in the interests of artists, and especially right now, there are many people who go out and they would actually make fan art of this. In fact, fan art of many of these actually do exist, and I am referring to, of course, is Pokemon Sun and Moon, which is the upcoming anticipated game that's going to be coming out for the Nintendo 3DS. This is pretty much the 7th generation of Pokemon, and hopefully, people are, like, hopefully, it will still capture the spirit of Pokemon, but this time, pretty much in this Hawaiian setting. And, like, we've already gotten info, like, a bit of info of what the plot is going to be, who some of the characters are, and even a few of the Pokemon. Like, we already know our starters, including, Rowlet, which I would like to call him Cute Grass Owl Ball. We got Litten, which is the fire cat, and we also got Papillo, who looks like the baby version of that seal in Madagascar 3. But then we also got the cover Pokemon, the legendary ones, including Solgaleo, which is the Sun Lion Pokemon, and Lunala, which is the Moon Bat Pokemon. But now we have, and And on top of that, this is also to mention that there are also other Pokemon that have been announced during E3, but now we've received more info regarding some new Pokemon that has already gathered a lot of interest and has already gotten grown a fan base. And in fact, they have pretty much announced 7 brand new Pokemon, and these include Tapu Koko, which is an electric fairy type Pokemon, which is more of a, like, it looks more like a Tiki God Pokemon. And then we also got Charjabug, which is the evolved form of Grubbin. And then we also got Vikavolt, which is pretty much the evolved form of Charjabug. So we pretty much got our first 3-tier evolution Pokemon, starting with Grubbin, and then Charjabug, which looks like a box Pokemon. And then we got Vikavolt, which is this massive, it looks like a giant plug, this giant freaky bug Pokemon. Then afterwards, we also got Drampa, which is a normal dragon-type Pokemon, which looks like one of those classic Chinese dragons. But, you know, like I've already seen him looking like he's having a huge fan base. And, like, especially considering that he is both a normal and dragon type, that is an interesting combo. Never been done before, but it is going to be interesting how they're going to use it here with Drampa. He does look like a pretty interesting Pokemon, and already with a name like Drampa, I don't know, like, I'm immediately gonna go and catch him, and I'm just gonna call him Grandpa, just to avoid confusion. So I'm gonna go and release Grandpa the Dragon. He even looks like a grandpa, even. He, like, a mixture of a grandpa and an old Chinese dragon. But anyways, continuing on, we also got Bruxish, which is a water psychic fish type Pokemon, and it looks like the same thing. It looks like it has a bit of that Hawaiian tiki style design, but in this case it's a fish. And honestly, like, I'm not a huge fan of fish Pokemon, but, like, this one is, like, one of the more weirder ones. And then we also got another one, which is Cutiefly, which is a bug fairy type Pokemon, and I forgot the name of the animal that it's based on, but it actually exists, and it looks exactly like Cutiefly, and I'm sure, like, this is the kind of Pokemon that a lot of artists are going to go gaga for. And finally, in every single Pokemon game, we always have to have at least that one Pokemon that resembles Pikachu. I mean, I think it's safe to say that Pikachu is the most well-known Pokemon out there, and starting with Generation 2, but technically that is Pichu, which is, like, the pre-evolved form of Pikachu, so that doesn't necessarily count. So, like, in terms of the spin-off Pikachu Pokemon, like, it started off with Gen 3 with Plusle and Minun, and then we got Gen 4 with Pachirisu, and then, like, which is a squirrel Pokemon, and then you got Gen 5, which with Emolga, which is a flying squirrel Pikachu. And then you got Gen 6, which is Deden, who is, like, electric fairy type, who is actually a hamster Pikachu. And then finally, we got Togedemaru, which is actually a electric steel type Pokemon, and it's like a hedgehog Pikachu. And what's actually interesting, I just noticed this now, like, the fact that they call it Togedemaru, and it actually also has a lot of resemblance to Togepi. Like, you know, the Pokemon, like Togepi, and then Togetic, and then Togekiss. Like, fans of the anime may recognize Togepi for a long time. Misty was Togepi's caretaker, and, like, you know that little egg, like, cute egg-looking Pokemon that always go Chochipri? Yeah, it's that one. So, basically, with Togedemaru, you actually get a bit of that same pattern as Togepi, but instead of being red and blue, you actually get yellow and black. So, but, like, overall, the Pokemon itself is, like, pretty much gray. And at the same time, I guess this is like a combination between Togepi and Pikachu, which often, like, a lot of people would associate them together, like what Ash is to Pikachu, Misty is to Togepi in a way. And we often see like those two interacting with each other very frequently. In fact, I remember there was an anime, there was a Pikachu short. I think it was either before Pokemon the Movie 2000 or Pokemon the third movie, where basically the plot is to take care of Togepi. Or I think it's in the second one. Yeah, because like it's probably in the second one because they also brought in other Pokemon like Elekid and stuff like that. Just like their goal is to take care of Togepi. But yeah, like I'm already seeing a lot of fan art for it, and well, especially the one who's getting the most fan art hands down is Togedemaru, considering that we got the Hedgehog Pikachu, and plus the fact like it is a hedgehog, so. Of course, a lot of people are going to make a lot of associations. Like, people want to take Togedemaru and, like, they're going to turn it into the Sonic style, like, Sonic the Hedgehog style. Or they're going to make Togedemaru Sonic the Hedgehog. And, oh my god, I just realized, like, there's going to be so many people out there who's going to call their Togedemaru Sonic. And it actually makes me wonder about the, like, I just realized, like, what are they going to do for the shiny type? Like if someone stumbles upon a shiny Togedemaru, is it gonna be blue? Like, that's what I'm wondering. I remember in Pokemon X and Y, like, it showed that Nintendo was not afraid to go into memeing territory. Like, you even got a trainer who shouted out, "It's over 9,000." So it could be a possibility they'll take Togedemaru and actually make him blue in honor of Sonic the Hedgehog. But we'll have to wait and see for more Pokemon to be announced when the game will be released on November 18th. And finally, now we have Matt's Pick of the Week. And so for this week, this is something that I wanted to cover for a long, long time. And I'm going to be very honest. As a movie collector myself, it, like, every time I hear about this news, it makes me furious. Like, I've honestly had enough about hearing this bullcrap and that people are seriously believing this, just taking it over and over again. It's just, it's really stupid. And I can't stand it anymore. Like, right now, I really want to go out there and really debunk this myth. Like, I want people to stop this. Like, they're just fooling themselves. I've had enough. And, like, seeing this actually happen, it makes me embarrassed that people are so dumb enough to believe this. And I want this to end. I want this to stop. And for those of you who don't know what I am talking about specifically, this is something that chances are you guys might have seen this on social media. Like, you're on Facebook or on Twitter or something like that, and you might have stumbled upon a blog discussing this. Now, recently, there seems to be this weird trend going on about, apparently, like you got these blogs just telling you, don't throw away your old VHSs of Disney animated films. Now, some might be wondering, why is that? Well, apparently, these movies, or these VHSs, could be worth a lot of money. And when I mean a lot of money, I don't mean just like, oh, they might cost, like, oh, maybe, like, you could sell them for, like, $50 each. No, 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 no. They tried to advertise this, like, you could get some serious money. And when I mean serious money, I mean, like, thousands of dollars. I'm talking about like 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. I've even seen some that go up to like $25,000. And why is that? Why is it that these VHSs are so much money? Like, are worth so much money? Well, apparently, like, nowadays, they seem to be very rare collectible items. And especially the ones that you should be looking out for, the ones that are said to be just worth, like, the ones that are like a gold mine, apparently, are the VHSs that have this, like, this infamous black diamond that says the classics on it. And, like, one of the biggest examples that, like, everybody frequently uses is Beauty and the Beast. That is the one that everybody advertises all the time, that when they go on eBay, you'll, like, even if you go on eBay right now and you search for Beauty and the Beast VHS, you'll often find, people listing these Black Diamond Beauty and the Beast VHS, and they put them up for such ridiculous prices. I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying that people would list them for, like, $10,000, $5,000, $1,500, $20,000, $15,000, $25,000 for a freaking VHS. And honestly, it's so, like, I see those prices on eBay and it's just hard to think about. Okay, now let me explain to you why this is just absolute bullcrap. Why this is unbelievable. Now, yes, there are going to be some folks out there who want to try to prove me wrong by telling me to go on eBay, and you'll find that people are legit listing them as, like, you know, they're listing those VHSs at, like, up to, like, thousands of dollars. But there is one thing that they seem to forget that is a huge factor that like, somehow they forgot that maybe this is not true. Who would go out there and spend thousands of dollars on a Disney VHS? Like, really think about it. We're talking just about this VHS of a movie. This is not a DVD. This is not a Blu-ray. This is just the VHS. It only contains the movie and maybe one little bonus thing before or after. And, like, of course, like, you get a few trailers beforehand, but that's it. That's it. Somehow, that's worth thousands of dollars. Who the fridge would go out there and spend that much money? Do you think that there's going to be some random millionaire out there that's just going to be like, oh, let's see now, I just have this giant pile of money, but I don't know what to do with this money. I don't know if I want to keep it. I better spend it on something absolutely random. Let's see what I could spend it on. Oh, I could purchase a brand new car. Maybe not. Or I could take a bit of this territory and some land. Oh, but I'd rather not. Oh, I can invest it in some stocks, but I'm not interested. Oh, what's this? A VHS of Beauty and the Beast that's worth $10,000? Oh, that is perfect. I shall go spend my money on that. Now, the thing is, like I said, do you honestly think that people are going to pay, like, the same price of a new car for a freaking VHS of Beauty and the Beast? Now, as a collector myself, not just on movies, but also, like, memorabilia myself, like, $10,000, if it were something from Beauty, like, $10,000 for something that came from Beauty and the Beast would have to be, like, this, well, like, it would have to be, like, a painting or this full-on drawing of the Beast that's signed by, like, the directors and Glenn Keane and all, and, like, Robbie Benson and all that kind of stuff. Or, like, what would be worth $10,000 in terms of Beauty and the Beast would have to be, like, yeah, like, it would have to be, like, pages worth of animation of a character like Belle or Lumiere or the Beast. Like, that's worth $10,000. Not a freaking VHS. And I know, like, and I know, everybody does it. Everybody is listing their Beauty and the Beast VHS. And, like, they're saying that, oh, this is the rare black diamond Beauty and the Beast worth $10,000. But this is the thing. Everybody is doing it. It's not rare, okay? Like even I admit, I actually do have some black diamonds with me. I actually have the famous black diamond Beauty and the Beast VHS. But, like, even if it's worth $10,000 or not, I'm not going to sell it. Like, it, you know, it's still a nice collector's item, but it's not worth it. They're not rare, guys. They don't have that much value. Like, the most that it's worth, like, any of these VHS, like, any of the Black Diamond VHSs are probably worth $20 to $25, and that is if they're in good condition. Alright, now let me explain to you what is the best, like the highest value that you can go with a VHS. And, you know, I thought about it, and I was thinking, like, the highest price that you can go with a VHS is either between $150 or $200, but that is only if the VHS and the DVD box is in pristine, 100% mint condition. The VHS has never been played, the box has never been opened whatsoever, and it still has that, it still has its factory seal wrap. That is the only time when you can go, like, or like maybe 150 is a bit much, like between that, that's when you can go either between 100 or 200, not a freaking $1,000. And I highly doubt that any of those morons who list it at like thousands of dollars would go and put it, would go and take care of it. Like, this is just something that, like, that these people just found, and they're hoping that they can make a get-rich-quick scheme without realizing it's gonna work. Like, even if it has that value, who the fridge is gonna buy it, man? For God's sakes, $10,000 and that's the price. Like, animation sells from classic movies like Sleeping Beauty or Fantasia or Pinocchio. Some of them are not even worth $10,000. That's ridiculous, man! And it pisses me off to no end. Like, this honestly, like, I'm speaking about this as a movie collector myself. Like, I'm speaking to someone, I have, like, a pretty large collection of, like, of DVDs and Blu-rays. And the fact that, like, the VHSs would be worth that much money is unthinkable. It really is. Like, oh my God, it's just a stupid thing, really. And honestly, like, if you really want to know a lot more info regarding this, I highly recommend you guys go on the site called Snopes.com, and they actually tell you guys everything about this. Like, they tell you everything about this. They pretty much go and debunk every single thing about, like, this whole Black Diamond rumor, which is absolutely freaking ridiculous. And plus the fact, like, you guys realize that these are VHSs, and even though, yeah, sure, you can't buy them in retail stores like Best Buy or Walmart, you could still go to your local flea market or thrift shop or Goodwill store, and you're guaranteed to find some of them. Like, you could even find, so, like, I can guarantee you could even find some Black Diamond classics that are probably worth just like $5 or $10. But there's no way that someone who is gonna go out there, they're gonna buy a VHS that they got at the thrift store and hoping that they'll just sell it on eBay for like thousands of dollars. And here's another thing about eBay. Now, the thing is, yeah, like, in terms of the prices, like, yeah, they put them so high, but here's the thing. When it comes to eBay, anybody can put that price. Like, anybody can go out there and they could take their VHS and they could list it for like $10,000. There's no way anybody is gonna go buy it. Like, anybody can do it. That doesn't mean it's gonna happen. And like I heard apparently there have been reports that someone did actually buy they actually did purchase like one of these VHSs for like thousands of dollars, but it has been reported to say, like, it has been a hoax. Like, most of the times when you hear that, like, a Blu-ray went for like thousands of dollars, it's most likely a hoax. It never happened. Like, think about, like, really think of it yourself. Like, I want you guys to think on your own. Like, if you somehow are a millionaire and you have so much money to spend, would you guys go and spend $10,000 on a VHS of a Disney movie? Would you do that? Highly doubt so. Nobody would be stupid enough to spend that much on a Disney collectible. I mean, for God's sakes, enough of these stupid, get-rich-quick schemes, because It's a fact that they don't work. No one's gonna fall for it, man. Seriously, it's ridiculous. Just stop this, alright? Enough. And with that said, that is all that I've got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at AdamAt505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be nice. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, see you later, dudes.